Blog Talk Radio.
Way too long. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I'm sitting here like, yeah, okay, no problem. Everybody's on mute. So, I apologize, ladies, but, you know, I've been out of sync for a long time, so here we are. All yours. Hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi. I hope you're both having a good day.
Hello,
well,
yeah, well,
nice.
Great. Well, that intro music was really short. Usually it's like 3 minutes, and that one was, I think, a minute 25 seconds, so.
Yeah, I looked over and I went, oh, my. Anyway, happy Tuesday. I don't know how to work
happy
on Tuesdays
too.
Anymore. And Tuesdays are usually the days off, since, like, Thanksgiving, I think. Just kidding. It's really close. Okay, well, I'm going to be quiet now. And Naomi, go ahead and tell us about the show tonight.
Yeah, first of all,
oh, and feel
it. I'm really happy that your voice is back.
Well, it comes
and
it goes, so it's interesting, that's for sure.
Okay.
It's a challenge. But I just want to let everybody know we have Zach on the line with us instead of having her sit here on hold. So. Okay, so I'm going to open it up so you can tell us all about it. Hey, Zach. Well,
hello.
Hi, Zach. How are you?
I'm good.
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I don't know much about Little Women, but I do know about the movie, and I do know Florence Pugh and Timothy Chalamet and Greta Gerwig, so we'll get into this.
Yeah. Well, you know, Louisa May Alcott was really, you know, a woman before her time. You know, before she wrote Little Women or even like the Christmas dream that we had me and Pam on for a show, a Christmas show was a short story written by Louisa May Alcott. Well, she wrote gothic thrillers with the synonym, the name anyway, A.M. Barnard. And I guess, you know, because women weren't, you know, that, you know, popular back then to be writers. So she went by this name, made up name, A.M. Barnard. And, you know, it was, and there was, the name of the tales was Blood and Thunder. And, you know, when she was asked to write a book, the book Little Women, at first she said, no, no way, you know. I don't like writing about girls. I don't even like girls. And she says it's going to be boring and, you know, and she wasn't really up to it. And so... But, you know, she did end up writing the book, and one place it says under 6 weeks, and another place it says under 10 weeks. But I suppose that's because originally Little Woman was two books rather than just one. The first book, it ended with Meg's proposal, the marriage, and the second book went on to the stories more of Joe and Amy in the second book. And, well, of course, you know, I talked about this a little bit on this Christmas show, the characters... The characters of Little Woman were inspired by a Louisa May Alcott's own family. She had three sisters, Anna, her older sister, which was named, Anna, and then her youngest sister, Elizabeth, which was based on the character of Beth. She passed away at the age of 22 from scarlet fever. So like Beth in the story, she lost a sister too. And her youngest sister, May Abigail, was an artist. What was the name of the youngest sister? Oh, my gracious, I'm forgetting the names here. Amy, thank you, Pam. Amy, yes. And that's it, Amy. And so you have the older sister, Meg, then you have Beth and Amy, and of course Joe, which was, you know, Louisa May Alcott most associated herself to Joe. She was a tomboyish kind and a writer like Joe in the book. And till this day, Little Woman still is written in 50 languages. And it still sells over 1,000 copies a month, every month. So it's often out of print. And it's still doing really, really good. You know, a lot of young girls still read it today. And what else did I find out? Originally she didn't want Joe to get married in the book. She wanted her to stay unmarried, and but to please her fans all wanted, back then they were all saying, hey, we want Joe to marry Lori, we want Joe to marry Lori. And she said, no way, Joe is not marrying Lori. So she married Joe off to the professor, Friedrich Bayer. And to please her fans, she got Lori to marry Amy. And that's the little facts that I found out. You can still visit, of course, the original home, Orchard Home in Massachusetts, where Louisa May Alcott wrote the book out of, and which was the home of the of our family. So that's just a little bit of a few interesting facts that I dug up about the book and about the author. Of course, the author was an abolitionist, Louisa May Alcott, and she was a feminist. She was the first woman to vote to be on the list to vote in her county there in Massachusetts. And so interesting facts. Yeah. And who read Little Woman when they were growing up?
Not I, said the fly.
You did, Pam? Me too. My gracious, more than once too. It really influenced, so much. You know, I wanted to be like like, you know, so many of them, you know, different times of my teenage years, I associate to one and then I'd associate to another. So really a cool story.
Right.
And yeah. So you have to read it, Phil.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of things I should really read. It's awful. I used to read when I was younger, but, you know, if it was what do they call it? When you're in school and they tell you have to read something, I was something I never wanted
to
read. Guaranteed, you know. But
yeah.
I read a lot of stuff, but never that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Did they have it on the American curriculum to read, Pam, in your school?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have it. Did I know?
Not in school, you know, but I was always one of those that, you know, the books we had to read in school, I had usually read them before I got to that grade. So
yeah.
Most of the books I read, including Little Women, I read because I wanted to and not because it was part of a curriculum.
Like me. Yeah, it wasn't part of our curriculum here. But, you know, me too, you know, I was really reading before my age level, you know, right over my age level, you know. I was the librarian at the school. In grade six, they started putting me as the librarian at the school because they said, Naomi, you read like three-thirds of the books that are in the library, so the teachers would send me the younger kids. Because we were elementary and high school and middle, you know, the little, what do you call that in primary school, elementary school? Elementary school, is that what you call it in the States? You know, some grades 1 to 6
elementary,
there?
Middle, and high school.
Okay, well, we were all that, but in one school. So we had kindergarten to grade, here in Quebec, it's grade 11. I think you guys, it's grade 13 there. But here it's from kindergarten to grade 11, then you go off to college. But we were all in the same school. So when I was in grade 6. I was the librarian in the school, and the teachers would send me the younger students to come and see me to suggest them a book. They'd tell me what they liked, and I'd pick out a book for them. So that was my job all through high school there. I'd sit in the library, but I loved it. Yeah, a librarian rat.
Sounds good.
You want to say something, Phil? No?
No, God, no.
Okay.
Minding my business. Taking it all in.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like all excited. I'm so passionate about this book.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I admire the enthusiasm. Trust me, I do. I just don't have any of my own. I don't have it doing anything, you know. It's been pretty crazy around here. In my world, my big enthusiasm comes when I go, it's nap time. Then I go, yeah.
I learned that over the years. Nap time is important time, too. Took me years to learn that. Oh, my gracious. Just to sit quiet, you know. I had to go through I don't know how many sessions of therapy just so that they'd make me sit quiet on a chair and do nothing. So I finally can do that. That's progress, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was hard, you know, just to use my 5 senses, just to feel what, just enjoy, you know, appreciate what's around me there. That was hard work.
Absolutely.
Just to succeed in doing that. But yeah, you really get to appreciate that alone time and that time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I have a first write up because we have a couple of carryovers from my last show, which was Taking the Time.
Uh-huh.
And I put the first write-up, and if, Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read, it's by Betty Page.
Time Stolen Kisses by Betty Page. Let's dance sweet in rain, cascading in sapphire. Stole my heart with kiss. Time's been spinning round as I'm just watching the wheels. Rides merry-go-round in vicious circles. We spin drifting far apart. Come, love, steal my kiss. Live extravagant, one sentimental moment. Love sweet things in life. Take time to reflect, mirroring my every move, heavenly entwined. I'm yours and you're mine, infinitely through all time. Your hands now in mine, let's dance sweet in rain, cascading in sapphire. Stole my heart with kiss, time's been spinning round, as I'm just watching the wheels, rides merry-go-round. In vicious circles, we spin, drifting far apart. Come, love, steal my kiss. End poem.
Nice read, Pam.
Yeah, wonderful read. And, you know, I really liked this. I thought it was utterly enchanting and captivating by Betty. And, you know, I really liked the lines, I'm yours and you're mine, infinitely through all time, your hands now in mine, let's dance sweet in rain, cascading in sapphire, stole my heart with kiss. You know, as usual, wonderful, you know, imagery, beautiful metaphors used, and just an absolutely wonderful write by Betty Page here. And what did you think, Zach?
Fantastic. I love the idea of time stolen kisses, and then the sapphire, the rainy kisses, and the sapphire swirl of the water. And it felt like a water spout full of, like, gemstones. And there was, like, an overflow of watery bliss and contentment that kind of stretches onward. And I enjoyed the subtle sort of repetition. And the spinning is very palpable, especially the dizzying kisses. So that was very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Zach. And what did you think... Phil, yeah, because Pam read it. Phil.
You know, there's something about this. Nobody ever remembers my name. I'm going to start taking notes. That's it. Everybody has a question to go to say my name. I think they want to say bad words. I do. I think you all want to say bad words. And you all take a deep breath and you go, Phil. That's it, Phil. Yes. Yeah. I know you're cleaning up the act. I got you, girls. I'm wise. I'm wise to y'all. No. I'm just playing. I thought this was a nice poem by Betty. Marin, her 575s, I mean, she really, at least I believe this 575. He looks to be in my brain. I think it was a great write with lots of wonderful imagery. You know, I like to repeat stanza as well. You know, let's dance sweet in rain, cascading in sapphire, stole my heart with kiss. Time has been spinning around as I'm watching. As I'm just watching the wheels, rides merry-go-round. In vicious circles, we spin, drifting far apart. Come, love, steal my kiss. I don't know. I just think it's a sweet poem and a nicely done piece by Betty. So thanks, Betty, for sharing with us.
Absolutely. Wonderfully, wonderfully said there, Phil. And Pam, you read it. What did you think, my dear?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. I found it very thoughtful and interesting how she uses the movement of circles to represent both something that's not so good, such as the drifting apart, and something that is good, the idea of dancing together. I really like how this speaks on enjoying time together and appreciating the simple moments of life. I particularly like live extravagant, one sentimental moment, love sweet things in life. Take time to reflect, mirroring my every move, heavenly entwined. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Well, absolutely wonderful, wonderful comment there, Pam. And I have our next write-up. It's by Pink Fairy5. And Phil, if you want to go, it's not too long, so if you want to go ahead and give it a read for us.
She's got my number now. It's not too long.
Well, no, it's more for your voice.
I hear you. No, I appreciate it. Okay, here we go. One of her best days ever by Pink Fairy5. Oh, wait, my ball's got to come into play, too. Sarah's friends are all rushing. They rush to set up all their decorations. Now they are racing to fix meals for many relatives. They sound frantic, so she does not call them. Sarah has asked her children to enjoy their own families. She wants to stay at home and enjoy their hobbies. She wants to be selfish and do what she wants. She likes to take naps and does not need observers. She walks down to her favorite place and talks to her husband. She feels he is there, even though some think he is dead. She knows better. It is a terrific day, soul-soothing, one of her best days ever. Just her memories, her husband, and nature soothing her grief. End poem.
What a beautiful poem this is, and you know what a, you know, such a relatable poem for so many people, and yeah, you know, it just pulls at your heartstrings. I suppose it's so loving and tender, and you know, she gave Pink Fairy5 did. She gave a voice to all those who have lost someone dear and find some comfort in still feeling their presence there. You know, this really inspired me, this poem, the emotion that poured from it. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is beautiful. And there is a lot of emotion that pours from it, especially as you get to that twist with them, you know, and talks to her husband. She feels he is there even though some think he is dead. She knows better. It is a terrific day, soul-soothing, one of her best days ever. It really just is an absolute beautiful write in the way she expresses this woman's desire just to be alone with her memories of her love. So wonderful write and very well done.
Wonderfully well said there, Pam. And Zach, what did you think of the write?
Lovely. I thought there was a nice party atmosphere to start with, and reminded me of like the scramble for groceries and charcuteries and that sort of thing. And there's like something soothing and almost mundane about the everyday feeling for kind of getting stuff ready for that kind of event. And it makes for a very fruitful and domestic relationship and a great kind of feeling and nostalgia throughout for that memory. It's very well done.
Great comment, Zach. And Phil, what did you think? Hello, Phil?
I think this was a wonderful piece. I love the imagery and the heartfelt emotions of it. And I can relate to that, you know, and as you said, all she wants to do is sit there alone with her memories. And just soak it in. And I can say, you know, that's relatable to me. I get it. And I think that this was just a great piece. And thank you, Pink Fairy5, for sharing with us tonight. Great job. Yeah, I really like it.
Wonderfully said there, Phil. And, yeah, I agree. You know, a lot of people can relate to that piece. And, I have the next write-up by Timothy Haldick. And Zach, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
In the woods. The morning mist has not burned off yet. Lust the steam from you hot. tea mixes with the mist causes me to remember a day when we got caught in a rainstorm, found a shelter house and waited out the storm. Your hair soaked as we used to dress. The storm came with its own sound system and light show. We waited out the storm, warmed each other with our bodies, then ran back to the big house where you changed. You changed so much that I moved on like the rainstorm. Rain poem.
What a wonderful read that was, Zach. Bravo. And, this is a moment caught in time. It has a nostalgic feeling to it. You know, wonderful. Just like a Kodak moment, I guess. The storm came with its own sound system. All and light show. We waited out the storm. You know, like I said, it's a great moment just captured in writing here. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a beautiful write. It's nostalgia, but it has a bittersweetness to it, as it speaks on a love that did not last. And I like the touch of sensuality he puts in this. That the storm came with its own sound system and light show. We waited out the storm, warmed each other with our bodies. And then the end is such a sad, bittersweet twist. You changed so much that I moved on like the rainstorm. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Well, first mute for me. Zach, what did you think?
It was wonderful. What a sorrowful snapshot of a tempest. I felt the intensity of the moment proved to be a little bit too much for both of them, especially the poet who had to move on. And what a beautiful and delicate separation. Very bittersweet. I loved it.
Wonderful. Wonderfully well said. Zach and Phil, your thoughts. And Phil is on mute.
I learned from you. Just saying.
Copycat.
That's me, copycat. Oh, my God. Oh. Welcome to Tuesdays. I'm such a mess. I thought there was a lot of great imagery in this piece. It wasn't a long piece, but it wasn't necessary. It didn't need to be long. So, I mean, I think that's great. I thought it was well written and expressed. And I kind of picked up the same place as I think most everybody did. The storm came with its own sound system and light show. We waited out the storm, warmed each other with our bodies. And it was like this, it wasn't what I was expecting at the end because I thought maybe we're going to have a happy ending in this. But apparently not. Then ran back to the big house where you changed. You changed so much that I moved on like the rainstorm. But that was, it was just really well done. It was a nice touch at the end. Although sad, it was still nice. So I liked it. And thank you so much for sharing with us, Timothy. I don't know. I'm going to guess and say Latic. That's my guess. So thank you very much. Have a great night. Thanks for sharing. See? End comment. Oh.
End comment. We have another that was from that contest, taking the time, but it's by Jody Melton, and he's supposed to phone in, I think, later on, so I'm just going to wrap that with a bow and keep that on the back burner. And I have our first write for Little Woman, and I haven't read yet tonight, eh? I'm giving everybody else the work. And this is written to the quote, which was the castles in the sky. I think that was an awesome. I've got the key to my castle in the air, but whether I can unlock the door remains to be seen. And I'm betting that, I don't know, I bet that's Joe that says that in the book. I'm not too sure, but I think so. So this is Castles in Blue Skies by Betty Page, and it goes like this. Castles in blue skies, fairy tale blue skies, magical dream atmospheres, sitting by seashore, the love of my life, he gave me the golden key to open castles. Blue skies surround me, will I take the chance to fly into sweet embrace, welcomed in his arms, his castles where dreams come true, a place where we'll dance. Sweetly we'll romance, dressed in tucks and fine ball gowns, swirling round and round, so passionately living out our fantasies, infinitely loved. Will I take my key, open gates to a new life beyond wildest dreams? And Pam, what did you think of Betty's write?
Well, first of all, great read there, Naomi. As always, I love the imagery. It's such a romantic feeling to this rite. Beautiful and brilliant imagery and metaphors, and really a wonderful heartfelt rite that speaks on the idea to me of having the courage to grab the key to your dreams. Wonderful lines throughout, but I especially like blue skies surround me. Will I take the chance to fly into sweet embrace? You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And me too. You know, I took it the same way, you know, a wonderful write on to the prompt on being given the opportunity on to unlock your dreams, and beautifully well written. And Zach, what did you think?
Very well done. I thought there was a fantastic, like a Disney-esque Fantasia feel to it with the seaside. Very much also like a Cinderella sort of feeling, and an appropriate sort of G-rated feel that does not need to be any more intense than that. And I like it for that. It's simply romantic. I loved it.
Wonderfully said there, Zach. And Phil, what did you think? Maybe you.
One more time? I thought it was sweet thoughts ran throughout this piece. And I picked it up at the beginning. Fairy tale blue skies, magical dream atmosphere sitting by seashore. The love of my life, he gave me the golden key to open castles. Blue skies surround me. Will I take the chance to fly into sweet embrace? I think that was just as sweet. You can visualize this, you know, because the imagery is so good. You can just picture just the different components of it. And I think that Betty did a nice job with it. So thanks, Betty, for sharing with us. As always, appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Betty, for encouraging us every single contest and being there. And we so, so appreciate you, my gracious. And I have our next write-up, which is by Nightcap, My Opinion. And I guess, Pam, it's your turn to read.
Okie dokie. All right. My Opinion by Nightcap. We all have the ability to listen. Even those who cannot hear can listen with their eyes. It is a unique talent to soak in what others say or do without saying anything yourself. And to learn from those experiences can be wise. But that is only if you listen, really listen. You see, when listening, do you listen to the entire sentence from one's mouth? When reading, do you read the entire sentence before coming up with your answer? Do you have a weak tendency to answer a question before the question is even completed? This is where you should be observing, This is where you learn inconsistencies. Everyone has an opinion. It is up to you to decide if one's opinion is fact. This is where you can educate your own mind. I do not believe one's opinion is ever wrong, but you can change one's opinion. You can change it. You can't change a fact. So the fact is, if you one listens, you can see a great deal more than one can imagine. Maybe then there won't be need to pretend to be wise. End poem.
Nice. Nice read, Pam.
Nice read. And that was written to the prompt, part of the book by Louisa May Alcott. I don't pretend to be wise, but I am observing, and I see a great deal more than you'd imagine. I'm interested in other people's experiences and inconsistencies, and though I can't explain, I remember and use them for my own benefit. And, it is a unique talent to be able to communicate properly. It's not because you see two people talking that there's communication going on. I'm telling you that because, you know, from experience, oh my gracious, I was a little girl who in school I'd talk over the teachers and I'd always have my opinion and I'd talk over everybody else and I'd finish. I'd answer a question before it was finished and, I was the student that the teacher had their desk right beside theirs, so they'd make me shut up, I was always talking all the time. But this there's a lot, in this poem that, really talk to me. Because it is indeed, a unique, like she says in the poem, or he says, it is a unique talent to soak in what others say or do without saying anything yourself and to learn from those experiences. And indeed, it's so true. Just to be able to listen, oh my gracious, it took me years to learn that, just to be able to listen to another people and really listen to them. So a wonderful right, very thought-provoking and very wise. And what did you think, Zach?
I thought it was wonderful. The motif of listening and listen to the listening, how to listen. There's like a thoughtfulness and like whether or not to determine if someone is actually candid or not in their listening. And for that, I think it's very underrated, the art of listening, which is, I think, most of us, I think, are chatterboxes and don't really look at the other side of the equation. So I think that was very well done and a bit of a breath of fresh air.
Awesomely well said there, Zach. And Phil, your thoughts. That's not because I forgot your name, just because I was thinking on who I'd asked.
yeah, sure. I got this down to a science. I got you all figured out. You all hesitate and say, who the hell is she? What am I going to call her tonight? I get it. I know the deal. Right, Pam?
No.
You've heard it, right, Pam? Uh-huh. See, she knows, too. Anyway, I said this was an excellent nightcap. I thought it was well expressed and great questions and thoughts shared. I had to laugh because I was like, I caught myself in a couple of these lines. I said, Gene, you're really messing up here. Because, really, because, I used to listen to everything. I used to focus when I talked to somebody. And now I get about halfway through and I kind of come back. I even have a response made up and I'm like, Gene, you didn't even listen to the whole thing. So I catch myself, see? Then I have to kind of sit there and look kind of solemn to myself for a while so I feel better. But it is. It's the truth. I mean, we all have the ability to listen. Even those who cannot hear can listen with their eyes. It is a unique talent to soak in what others say or do without saying anything yourself. That is so true.
and to learn from those experiences can be wise, but that is only if you listen, really listen. And I'm going, darn, Gene, you better step up your game here, because I did. I could see myself in this going, you know, yeah, you do that. You need to shut up and listen. So they used to be good at it. So maybe I can get back there again. I don't know, but, you know, if we just keep a voice, maybe we'll talk about it again another day. Anyway, great piece, Nightcap. Thank you for sharing with us. I really did enjoy the piece. I thought it was well done.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great comment, Phil. And Pam, your thoughts?
This is definitely a thoughtful write on the importance of really listening to others and listening so that we can learn from each other and grow as a person. You know, not just listening in order to form as quick of a response as possible, but rather just getting to understand each other. I like the questions asked in this, such as you see when listening, do you listen to the entire sentence from one's mouth? When reading, do you read the entire sentence before coming up with your answer? You know, it really speaks on the importance of taking time to learn and observe. So excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Taking time to learn and observe, so important. Yeah, and body language too, eh? Sometimes it speaks louder than the words itself, my gracious.
It's like Ursula from the Little Mermaid says, never underestimate the importance of body language.
Oh, that's so cool. And I have a SoundCloud up next by our friend and fellow co-host, Scott Sharp, A Woman's Heart.
Okay, here we go.
A woman's heart, risen like notes of cinnamon coming from the kitchen. Fingers press black and white ivories. Notes carry through the parlor, running through grass fields, windblown outside the window, mining diamonds, creating silk, carried upon the carved pillar of Beethoven's eyes. Sunshine dances along the keys, peaceful walk amongst the lilies. The trickle of the creek repeats in the treble clef, diverted in the rocky baritone sandbar in her voice, where crickets sun themselves playing the funeral march by Chopin.
What a wonderful write this is. And Scott wrote to the picture of it was Beth there but on the piano, and there was a quote underneath the picture which I don't remember, but it was saying that, you know, when she played, the music would fill the house, the parlor, and, you know, with the melody. And we can really see I think Beth in this right, sitting there playing the piano, the home filling up with the music. And, you know, I was wondering, you know, I paused, you know, at Scott's final line, playing the funeral march by Chopin. And, you know, the funeral march, because Beth dies at the end, not at the end, but around the middle of the book, she dies. And, you know, playing the funeral march, I wonder if that was intentional or that was just, you know, like a partition of the music. But, you know, that made me pause and think. What did you think, Pam?
I would say, knowing Scott's writing, you know, and that was intentional, giving a nod to the character that died. But that's just my guess. I love the imagery in this, the emotion that comes through. I like how, to me, it expresses the different ways that women, you know, show their hearts, show their emotions. You know, the cooking in the kitchen, playing music, you know, bringing to me the diamond, mining diamonds, creating silk, is that idea of bringing out the best in other people. It could be the idea of, you know, just getting all dolled up and looking beautiful. But I like the idea that perhaps it is about, you know, how, you know, a woman, you know, when she sets her mind to it, can bring out the best in other people. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Pam, you know, because that's in the story. That's what she did, you know. She was there for everybody else. You know, she had this big, big heart. And, you know, she did bring out the best in everybody else, and she listened to everybody else's problems. And, you know, she had this huge, huge heart. So I think you're probably right with that. And, you know, plus the title is A Woman's Heart, title of the piece. And what did you think, Zach?
I thought that it was wonderful. From the heart rising from the ball of dough, like cinnamon, I thought there was such a care with the intricacy of that, as well as the Beethoven's piano, and such like a care and effort used for the creativity of that and this relationship, and the reader kind of bathes in the ambiance and atmosphere of that. And in the musical imagery ending was very sad and a solemn close. And the character that I brought to mind was there for everybody else and not for herself was Nell from The Haunting of Hill House by Mike Flanagan and Shirley Jackson's the Shirley Jackson adaptation. Very well done.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great observation there, Zach. Like that. And Phil, what did you think?
See, she did it again. I love this piece. You know, I love the whole piece. I thought it was great. The first stanza I really enjoyed, and I didn't want to copy the whole thing and put it in my comment because people talk about me when I do that. But I love it. Risen like notes of cinnamon coming from the kitchen. Fingers press black and white ivories. Notes carry through the parlor, running through glass fields, wind blown outside the window. That was just, they were beautiful. I loved the first two lines of that, you know, notes of cinnamon coming from the kitchen. I thought that was just such a relatable thing for most everyone. But I have to say, I really enjoyed the second stanza. I loved all the references and the thoughts in there. And I think that Scott did a fine job with this. So wonderful work, Scott, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great imagery throughout.
Wonderful comment there, Phil. Wonderfully well said. And Matt, I have the next poem up by Matt29. And Zach, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Persistent bravery. Behavior is seldom without cause or effect, often triggered by undetermined triggers. Unaware of our hidden beliefs and trauma, we tried through life, oblivious to its beauty. Discovering our truth releases the chains, forged through unknown conversations, shaping the way we perceive our lives, holding us prisoner of lingering shadows, presenting us difficulties we stumble upon. Choices which cause anxiety and frustration, multiplying without warning from sleep, leaving us unnerved and unsteady. Our greatest battle is recovery of us, coming to terms with our reality, the values and beliefs we cling to, what form our loves, likes, and hates. Learning to live with ourselves is the greatest release we have. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Zach. And Matt wrote to the prompt, I am not afraid of storms, for I'm learning how to sail my ship. And, you know, this is a wonderful ride on inner growth as we learn who we really are and how to evolve and become our one true self, you know, come into ourselves, you know, which can take years, to do. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is an amazing ride on the bravery that it takes and the persistence that it takes when having, you know, finding the courage to change as a person, to walk the path of recovery and you know, that realization of self-growth needed. And wonderful lines all the way through. But I especially like discovering our truth releases the chains forged through unknown conversations, shaping the way we perceive our lives, holding us prisoner of lingering shadows. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely, me too. I would almost quoted that same stanza. Really liked the whole write all throughout, but that particular stanza really stood out for me too. And Zach, what did you think, my dear?
I loved how this poem was about making choices for yourself, and what a powerful feeling to pull oneself out of that depression through the power of self-affirmation and autonomy. So I thought that was really well done, because only you could really do that in the end. No one else is going to do that for you. Well done.
Well said. Well said, Zach. And Phil, your thoughts?
Very good. She's got it figured out. I thought this piece was wonderfully penned. Great work regarding the prompt, for sure. And I have to say, I like the first two stanzas. Behavior is seldom without cause or effect, often triggered by undetermined triggers, unaware of our hidden beliefs and trauma. We tread through life oblivious to its beauty. Discovering our truth releases the chains forged through with unknown conversations, shaping the way we perceive our lives, holding us prisoner of lingering shadows. I thought those two stanzas were just really strong, you know, and it was a great lead into the poem all the way through. Nice work, Matt, and thank you.
I agree, Phil. You know, it's very something very powerful about this rite too, you know. It's thought-provoking and it's powerful also. And Barb says there's noise on the line, the same as there was the other day. Yeah, I hear it too, that noise, the echoing. I don't know. Sounds like we're in a windstorm or something. I have our next write-up by Puddles, and it has a SoundCloud.
Oh, Ready to Soar by Barb Christing. There is discomfort in sitting, in staying stationary in body and mind. I was born to explore, destined to discover great things about myself and the world. This nest, once lined with soft down, now itches and suffocates. It binds my wings that flick and flap in anticipation. They yearn to ride the skies. Can you hear the wind beckon? Feel her pull you into an embrace so tight it leaves you breathless? She crushes my bones. The cracking is delightful. I am realigned, back straight and strong and ready for flight. It is time. I spread my wings to catch the wind, but find myself thrust into swirling eddies, balance askew, tumbling, falling, spiraling until snap. I close my eyes and feel the push and pull of currents, learn their weight and direction, flow instead of fight. Use my strength and gentle restraint to soar beyond the clouds where sunshine lives and breathes and warms the air to send me higher and higher until the tips of my wings dip among the stars. From here, I can see forever. I will use the constellations to chart my path and sail these gusty streams wherever they may blow.
Wonderful, wonderful SoundCloud Puddles, and thank you so, so much for supplying that for us. It's so enjoyable to hear your poetry and your voice, and that was just amazing. And Pam, I'll let you go first.
I'm sorry. Can somebody else go first?
Oh, okay. No problem. I'll go first then. I just wanted that because I was going first all the time. Yeah, this is a most beautiful write on, you know, just a maturing, you know, I feel like this wild, impatient, impulsive person, you know, like probably like I was when I was younger, you know, just learning and growing and finding direction and finding a way to stir herself in that right direction, you know, by growing and taking a maturity. I just love the part, you know, I spread my wings to catch the wind, but find myself thrust into swirling eddies, balance askew, tumbling, falling, spiraling until snap, I close my eyes and feel the push and pull of current, learn their weight and direction, flow instead of fight, use my strength and gentle restraint to soar beyond the clouds where sunshine lives and breeze warms the air. You know, just beautifully written all the way through, and I love that title, Ready to Soar. And I think, you know, she just, Barb just, you know, took those prompts, those different prompts, like, the prompt, be comforted, dear soul, there is always light behind the clouds. I'm not afraid of storms, for I'm learning to sail my ship. And you are the gull, Joe, strong and wild, fond of the storm and the wind, flying far out to sea and happy all alone. You know, I think she just took those prompts and just soared with them. And this is just so excellently well worded all the way through. You know, she explains that discomfort and just sitting, you know, and wanting to move and wanting to just fly out there, you know, that impulsivity, and then learning to slow down and learning to be more gentle with yourself, I think, and define your own direction and define your way. So wonderful write, Barb, here, just beautifully done. And what did you think, Zach?
Wonderful. Ready to soar, discomfort in sitting, so there felt like there was like a restlessness about it. Sure enough, there's the bird. So the feeling that this person wants to galvanize themselves into action by using the wings and as trials and tribulations through soaring through like life and overtaking the gusts and being resilient to the buffeting of the wind, striding forever forward and including like fading to the upper sort of levels of the constellations above. So that's soaring, and it reminds me of like being on the cusp of a leap of faith all the way through. So that was really cool.
Wonderfully well said there, Zach. And that noise is back. Oh my gracious, it's driving me crazy. Phil, what are your thoughts?
Hello. What did you say, Naomi? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I asked you.
Okay, I thought this was a beautiful piece by Puddles. Wonderful imagery and great descriptions throughout. There's not a part. part of it. I could pick any part of this, pluck any part of this, and put it down into my comment and feel satisfied that I had picked the right part, because it's all beautifully written and so very well expressed. So with that being said, I have to tell you that I think this was just marvelous, top to bottom, and beautifully done. Apparently, the noise is me, and I have hung up and called back twice. Okay, I don't know how to get rid of it. I could step down, you know, and not be here. But I'm not exactly sure what else to do, because I've muted everyone coming through. The only one I haven't muted is you, Naomi, and I don't think it's you. So I'm not sure how to address it. So.
Well, it's not too bad to now. Be... Okay. It's okay. Yeah. See. And,
yeah, so,
no, we want you here.
I know, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I just don't know how else to get rid of it. If I hadn't hung up and called back twice, I would say, well, you know, let me hang up and call back, but I've already done that, so I'm not exactly sure what to say. I'm going to put myself on mute and see if it makes a difference, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah.
Mute. Got that? I'm going to put myself on mute. Okay, here we go.
Okay. And Pam, what are your thoughts? Barb's beautiful, right?
Oh, this was absolutely beautiful. I love the imagery and the extended metaphor, how it speaks on growth, on understanding, and knowing when it's time to spread your wings and soar, and beautiful lines all the way through. But I especially like, can you hear the wind beckon, feel her pull you into an embrace so tight it leaves you breathless? She crushes my bones. The cracking is delightful. I am realigned, back straight and strong and ready for flight. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Well said there, Pam. And yeah, what a great piece by Barb. This is just fantastic. And I have our next write-up, by it's called Joe's Patience by Joyful Song. And I'll go ahead and give it a read. Joe's Patience. What resonates with me in Little Woman is the wisdom of Josephine. Lawrence always wanted a girlfriend relationship, but Josephine held her ground and never bowed to pressure. She told Lori that he was a brother to her in heart and never would be anything more but her best friend. I'm glad it worked out that way. It did, for Amy always loved Lori but was too young at the time. Oh, how time changes everything, and I'm sure her mother said, if it is meant to be, it will be. Then the opportunity rose for Amy to go abroad. The only thing was Lawrence was destined to go too. They met again in Europe. Lawrence saw a beautiful lady he never had seen before, for Amy had blossomed and her time had come. Lawrence wrote to Amy's father and got permission to marry. He was thrilled for them to marry abroad. When they returned, Lawrence and Amy were already husband and wife. In the meantime, Joe had gone to New York just to get away from Lori. She had met a wonderful man, but her sister Beth's sickness took her back home. Beth requested her to make a last promise to stay and comfort her parents. So Joe stayed, but Friedrich could not forget Joe and found business to come to Massachusetts where Joe lived. And Joe had not forgotten the man. He visited Joe when she was tending her aunt's health. The aunt left the big house to Joe at her death. Joe got married to Friedrich and the love of her life. They started a school for boys and were happy. I indeed have learned that you can love someone but not be in love with them. You are in love with them. If you are in love with them, your soul clings to them and they complete you. And, you know, this is a wonderful recounting of the romantic plots that go on inside of the story of the little woman. you know, in which the characters Amy and Joe, how they fall in love, and then they end up getting married in the end. And, you know, great wisdom given on love. And so true, you can love someone without being in love with them. And, you know, there's all kinds of different kinds of love out there, you know, the love that we have for our children, the love that we have for our friends, and, you know, being in love with a lover. So, you know, different kinds of love out there. And I thought that was beautifully well illustrated in this, right? And what did you think, Pam?
I did enjoy this. It was a wonderful dedication to the character of Joe March, and as you said, to the romantic subplots of the book, and really has an important lesson at the end about love. You know, that if you are in love with them, your soul clings to them and they complete you. Wonderful ending and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
I thought there was a wholesomeness to the familiar portrait of love between Joe and Lawrence, and I love the format of the piece. It read like a retelling of part of the narrative. It didn't read like a fan fiction. Let me make that right clear. It did not read like a fan fiction at all. And it brought to mind different sort of kinds of love, very intricate, which is like platonic love and the love, a little bit more than that, that kind of love, and the differences between that and the book, and very well written in a poetic format that is easy to understand and intricate and nuanced. Very well done.
Wonderfully said there, Zach. And Phil, what did you think? Are you off mute? Yes.
Well, yeah, I just took myself off. I had to slip out of the green room because I couldn't hear anything. I was like, oh, darn, maybe I better step back into the mute part. I thought this story was well told, a great recollection, because just from what you and Pam have said, I kind of have an idea that, you know, this was a good recollection of it. I mean, it might sound silly, but true. And I thought it was very well penned. It was nicely put together. So great job, and thank you for sharing Joyful Song.
Wonderful comment. And while I have you, I don't know if that noise doesn't get too bad. Could you read the next right? Pam, Phil,
Tracy. Yeah, I don't know my name. I already told you.
I'm making the situation worse, ain't I?
It's a tough crowd around here, I'm telling you. Pam, I hope you're writing this all down for me. I really do.
I'm taking notes.
Thank you. Pam is my secretary. She's my absolute bestest secretary ever.
I'm gonna get a pay cut.
Don't get me laughing that hard, man. That's right. You're paying him. That's right. What's that song? Nothing leaves nothing. Yeah, so anyway, it'll be good now. This poem is called Becoming a Woman by Blue Raven. I learned from Ms. Alcott that there are many ways to be a woman. I imagined myself, each sister, intrigued by the desires and decisions of Joe, Beth, Meg, and Amy. Joe appealed most, drawn to writing like me, strong-willed, but open to love in her own time. At the piano, I imagined myself Beth, but being a selfless didn't suit me, and I didn't want to die young. I dreamed of being in love, a good wife like the docile Meg, content with home and garden, a mother like my own.
it was Amy I most resembled, self-absorbed and admirer of beautiful things, concerned about appearances. At this point, I've been all those women, without pretending, evolving in my journey, learning to be true to myself. End poem.
Well, that was a wonderful read there, Phil. And, you know, I said this at the beginning of the show, you know, why Little Women was so important to me growing up, because at one point in my teenage years, I related more to one character, and then I'd relate more to another. And, you know, I think Blue Raven really took the book as a whole, and she really explained it wonderfully and showed how this book influenced girls all over the world. And, you know, it gave them models to look up to and characters to identify with. So I thought this was a wonderful write. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. I do like how she took the characters and the story as a whole and wrote on the idea that we can each find a character to relate to. And oftentimes throughout life, as we grow and change in various ways, we can relate to different characters more so than others at different times in our life. You know, amazing right all the way through, and I really like how it does give a nod to the characters, the main characters, but it also focuses on the importance of being true to yourself and embracing all parts of yourself. So wonderful right and very well done.
Yeah, wonderfully said there, Pam. Absolutely. And Zach, what do you think?
A nice series of character vignettes, and she sees the younger women in herself in various ways. So I thought that was very cool, like a series of life imitating art that was so well done, and it definitely was consistent all the way through that way, and it gave the piece momentum. And it was very well done. Propulsive.
Yes. Are you starting to piece the story a bit together now, Zach? A little bit more?
A bit, yeah. More to
yeah.
Time. Right. Yeah.
And what did you think, Phil?
Yeah, she wants my opinion, too. I thought it was an accurate piece by Blue Raven. Excuse me, a nice nod to each one of the characters. And I thought she presented the relatability to each of the women in the book in such a great fashion. It was just really well done. I liked how she, you know, at the piano, I imagined myself best. So I could see how one would be carried through the book with each of these characters, and how, you know, you see this and it hits home with you, you know, and you go on and go, yeah, and then you get to the next character, and you go, oh, yeah, I can relate to this part of this person as well in the book. So I think that she did a good job sharing that with everybody, and I think that that's a wonderful thing. I don't know. I'm going to be quiet now. But a wonderful, wonderful take on the prompt. Thank you, Blue Raven, for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Phil. And I have another SoundCloud up next, Hall of Poetry.
Got it. Okay, here we go.
Glimpses of joy. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So the saying goes. Feel into its hidden meaning, moving with life as it ebbs and it flows. Smile into the present moment, with eyes of gratitude and a heart full of love. Glimpses of joy arise more often and last longer, offered by everyday experiences such as the wonder of the petals of a flower opening, a spider's web hanging with ease in the air, quality time spent with family, dinner with friends, creating connections, new and old, to share. Stillness of now, beyond attachment to thought, fresh with opportunity and its magic within, allows observation, recognition of beauty unspoiled by comparisons, good and bad, lose and win. The power discovered here is limitless, radiating love in all of its forms, a vibrational frequency of one and all, reached by sailing your ship through many a storm. It's our truth, it is heart coherence, neurons firing and wiring in sync. Settle into this authentic way of being, knowing you've been led to, but step back from the brink. End of poem. Sam Hall, Hall of Poetry.
Oh, wonderful, right? And then another wonderful, wonderful SoundCloud, beautiful reading voice. Thank you so, so much, Hall of Poetry, for that SoundCloud. And, yeah, just a wonderful write with so many clever, awesome lines throughout. I just loved, you know, how this flowed effortlessly. It was a pure pleasure just, you know, to read it when I read it before. And, you know, when I just heard it now. So just beautiful. I love the you know, some of these, like a lot of these lines, but I just love the petal of a flower opening, a spider's web hanging with ease in the air, quality time spent with family, dinner with friends, creating connections, new and old, to share. And, you know, just about, you know, all those little moments that you get that are just simple, but so, so beautiful. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is wonderful. I love the imagery in this. Her reading of it was, as always, beautiful. I like how this speaks on the idea of living in the moment, of appreciating the simple beauty and joys of life. You know, the as it says, the petals of a flower opening, a spider's web hanging with ease in the air, quality time spent with family, dinner with friends, creating connections new and old to share. Those really are just beautiful, heartfelt lines, and just a wonderful reminder that, you know, the best blessings in life don't have to be big and grand. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And Zach, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was well done. The ebb and flow of love kind of felt like a river. And urging to share in the now of the moment and to recognize the spider web and the petals of the flowers, like fleeting moments of nature. And there's this feeling of finding your roots and companionship throughout the trials and tribulations of life. And there's a beautiful kind of a lilting cadence to the voice of the piece. Definitely a lovely spontaneity as well. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That was a great comment. Awesome. Awesomely well said there, Zach. And Phil, your thoughts, my dear.
You know, I thought that this was a wonderful write. I loved the rhyme and meter throughout. I loved what she had to say. I was looking at the stanzas, and I was like, oh, which one? And I'm like, well, which one? You know, I mean, I could just grab them up, like I say a lot of times. I could grab any stanza here and be happy with it, as to point it out. Smile into the present moment with eyes of gratitude and a heart full of love. Glimpses of joy arise more often than last longer, offered by everyday experiences such as the wonder of. I think it was, you know, she rhymed that cleverly, and I think that there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great. It had a wonderful sound. Her audio was just, you know, it wasn't over the top. It was good. It was just clear and crisp and well said. So I think that all around this was a winner. So excellent piece, Hall of Poetry, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great job.
Great job indeed. It was a beautiful, beautiful write and a wonderful comment, Phil. And Pam, can I ask you to read the next poem and then take comments and everything? Because my cat is like going crazy here. She wants to.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. This is Joe March by Kind Poet. Oh, Joe March, your energy and your spirit unnerves and offends we puzzled people of the 1860s. Your peculiar story is a struggle charred into the pages of our genteel era. Ladies never run like ruffians. Ladies never fight like warmongers. Ladies never write like rebels. You are not homely, yet you are not lovely. You are nimble and too nimble for ladyhood. Neither bows nor lace adorn your dark tresses, meaning that God blessed Meg and Amy with delicate beauty. They shall marry well while spinsterhood is your destiny, and you seem to prefer that over teacups and propriety. You are strange, dearest Josephine. How sad that you are not like us. End poem. And Kind Poet wrote to the quote, I don't like to doze by the fire. I like adventures, and I'm going to find some. And Zach, what did you think of this poem?
This felt to me like the story of a woman who was ahead of her time. I thought she just belongs in the future, and it's a shame that the world fails to rewind itself to catch up with her. So I thought that was very well done.
Absolutely. Yes, I have to agree. And it's like Naomi had said in the beginning of the show, the author of Little Women really was a woman ahead of her time. And Jo was the character she most identified with. So great observation. And your thoughts, Jean?
I really liked the piece very much. I thought that it had a certain charm to it in the respect that they go on. Let me see where I wanted to pick it up here. Your peculiar story is a struggle, charred into the pages of our genteel era. Ladies never run like ruffians. Ladies never fight like warmongers. Ladies never write like rebels. You are not homely. You are not lovely. You are nimble. And too nimble for ladyhood. And I guess I find it to be charming the fact that you don't have to fit into all these molds, but we know this now.
Right.
You know, and when you look at this from the point of view of someone from the 1800s, it's like, oh, that's terrible. I'm going, go, girl, go, you know.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, you know, the nerve. But I think that it was just really well done, and I think that Kind Poet really did put it in perspective to that. And anyone who knows and reads likes the book, I think, you know, they understand way better than I do. They understand this character better than I do. So coming at it from that point of view is kind of like, you know, come on, Joe's all right. She's got this. So, I mean, that's what I would get from it. I mean, I'm not, you know, like I said, I never read the book, so I'm kind of guesswork in some of it, but I can feel it as being comfortably on target. So nice job, Kind Poet, and I really liked it. So thank you much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that is so true. And yeah, and this is one of those rights, so that it is good if you know the character, but if you don't, the right is still works really well because of the fact that I think many of us understand how throughout history people's ideas of what a woman should and shouldn't be has changed. And like Kind Poet says in her AN, she wrote this from the point of view of people from the 1860s who had this ideology of what they thought a woman should be, and the character of Jo March did not fit into that. Great lines all the way through, but I really like ladies never run like ruffians, ladies never fight like warmongers, ladies never write like rebels. And that is so true, like Naomi had said before. You know, throughout history up until a certain point, a lot of times women had to write under pseudonyms because people didn't want to buy stories or poetry or books written by women. So I was particularly amused by ladies never write like rebels.
Right, Pam? What do we know?
Yeah, exactly.
Pam was slicing and dicing with her pen, huh? Absolutely. Telling you.
Oh, exactly. And are you back with us, Naomi?
Yeah, I'm back, and I really liked your comments, and you know, I found this really creatively, very creative of kind poet. It's kind poet. You really created of her to have written this from the perspective of a person, you know, that lived in the, like you were saying, Penn, that lived in the 1860s. You know, they would have found Joe Marsh quite extravagant, and that's what they would have said, you know. Probably go on a witch hunt, you know, trying to find something wrong with her. That's what they did back then. But, you know, when a woman wasn't all they thought she should be, you know. But very wonderful, right? Very creative, right? And is Robbie on with us? She said
well,
he phoned in.
We have two calls.
Oh.
We have Robbie is with us. Hello, Robbie.
Hello.
And we also
have
Robbie.
Jody.
Hey.
Hi,
Jody.
Hi,
Jody.
Hey,
Zach. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hey, Jody.
What's up? Going well.
Hey.
All
right.
You've got a full house tonight.
Yeah.
You guys
so
are
great
too much fun. I had to join in.
Have a lot of... Have a lot of twisted misters tonight. Nice. I was just waiting for this moment, oh my gracious, because I have a treat for everybody. I was waiting for this. Just wait a second. Wait for it. And there we go. And I'm just going to have to pop that in. Yeah. Pop Pam's poem in. I was waiting for everybody to be here. So,
okay.
Pam,
wow.
Whenever
I
you're ready.
For my poem. Oh, crumbs.
It's so great.
I'm having a coffee right now, so coffee and conversation is perfect.
Well, I wrote two quotes. The main one is, I'd rather take coffee than compliments just now. And the other one was, I like good, strong words that mean something. And this is coffee and conversation. And it goes like this. Let me wake to a cup of coffee as the ruby sun begins to rise. Another morning's offered promises stretches far before my eyes. Let the coffee be hot and black with the warmth of swirling steam. This morning ritual brings comfort. Every sip is made of humble dreams. In this time of solitude, I'll let the silence speak to me. Let my mind not be filled with thoughts of trivialities. I like my words like my coffee, bold and also very strong, and not gaudy as the plastic beads cast upon the throng. I really don't mind compliments, but I like my coffee more, for compliments I often find make me want to snore. I want compliments that are genuine, my coffee at the crack of dawn. I want stimulating conversation that doesn't make me yawn. I want poetry and linguistics that make my eager mind meld with the vastness of the cosmos infused within a calligraphic spell. And poem.
Ah, bravo, bravo, bravo. I'm going to comment on it, but I'm going to let Jody, you go first.
All right. Well, I don't want to put Pam to sleep, but I want to... I think she beautifully captured the morning ritual and the, you know, that she has with the sun and the cup of coffee and contemplation of solitude. I think, honestly, before I have my cup of coffee, I don't really want to talk to anybody. So I understand that for sure. And, you know, the desire for a stimulating conversation once the coffee gets flowing through me, now that's a different story. I thought, you know, you connected well with the cosmos and through the linguist, and I thought it was a very thought-provoking twist that you made in the poem. Very relatable and engaging. Well done.
Thank you. Well said, Jody. And Robbie, what did you think?
Well, this was a poem that really spoke to my heart. Like I was saying, I was drinking coffee while I was listening to this. Coffee is one of my rituals for sure. And like without fail, in the morning, I go to the coffee shop and I take my tablet with me and maybe a little book, and I have my music on, and I listen to my music, I read, I do a little bit of like self-education, like Brilliance and Khan Academy on my tablet while I have my coffee. And that's like my kind of my primer for the day. Like that's my mood. That's my helps me get myself centered for the rest of the day. So I really related to the poem on that level. And I related on the, especially like as well to the, you know, I don't like the idea of not liking mundane conversation. More and more now, I think it's part of getting older is that you know, we have less time to waste in that. You want your conversation to all, you know, to mean something. You don't want to waste your time with too many mundane conversations. So it resonated with me that on that wavelength too. There's actually like a poem like with the, especially with how it has the picture on. I would like print this up and like have it on like have it on my living room wall or something, because it just speaks to me just right on that same level as me. Like I just have the exact same feeling with coffee and conversation and all. So yeah, very much resonated with me.
Well said there, Robbie. And Zach, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. The overall feeling kind of reminded me of comedians with cars getting coffee. I really liked the idea of the fading of yesterday's bitter dregs and the revitalization of the piece. It was eye-opening. And talking over coffee, you have like the compliments, the poetry, and the linguistics. And I thought that was great, because it's not superfluous conversation or superficial, and you need that in the morning. So I thought that was really nice, and it was just a nice sort of felt a deep connection with it. It's very well done.
Thank you, Zach.
Wonderfully said there, Zach. And yeah, and you know, I thought, you know, you guys watch out, because Pam is really badass. And, you know, she's a strong woman and she knows what she wants. And you guys, you know, and everybody out there, you know, that knows Pam knows that, you know, of course, how intelligent she is. My gracious, she's, you know, so bright, so brilliant. You know, just with the comments she makes on poems, my gracious, like sometimes I don't have a clue and she comes out with this awesome comment and just slays it, and I'm there, oh my gracious, you know. But, you know, and this is a wonderful poem that made me, you know, of course the rhythmic, those lines, the way they rhyme and they flow is just amazing. And, you know, it gave me a smile, especially as I read the fifth stanza there about the, you know, the snoring. I really don't mind compliments, but I like my coffee more. For compliments, I often find one. Make me want to snore. And so true with so many of these people, you know, with their compliments, you know, it's like blah blah blah, okay, yeah. And you know, I get that. And you know, but this is a wonderful, powerful write from a wonderful, strong woman who knows what she wants and won't settle for less. And bravo, Pam, beautiful, right? And, you know, just wonderfully well done.
Thank you, Naomi. And thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, we came up with it together, a little woman, so it was great.
We just decided it was something we wanted to do.
Absolutely. And, yeah, so, and I'm happy we did it because, you know, what a great book. And, you know, and for people who don't read a lot, well, listen to the movie at least. And the movie is pretty good, too. The book is better, but the movie is pretty good. And so I put Eric's Fenton.
Yeah, you might have to
repost it. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
That's it. I reposted it now. So whenever we're ready, just to play that SoundCloud.
Celestial solitude. Cherished hush. The space between musical notes. The kiss of solitude. High above the night sky swirls, tipsy musical spheres twirl. The heart enlarges to encompass a soundless symphony, so electrified alive, for the heart reaches out, nurtures nascent thoughts, restoration of self as the world slumbers, love's loom puts us out to pasture, savants below an abundant night sky pantheon, celestial solitudes, emotional etude sail through the stratosphere, wonderment unfolds anew, rest of seconds, between breath, body slumbers while spirit goes walk about. Worlds unseen by day, open at night. Quiet enclaves wherein enchantment panders, lover urgent to please, the self at peace as inklings ticker tape down. Senses heightened by touch, shy breeze sneaks up, a shooting star brings a smile, a spontaneous wish born, shorn from hustle bustle, new ideas blossom. The great indoors finds rest out in nature. Celestial solitude, soul, etudes, enter.
Wonderful, wonderful SoundCloud. That was wonderful read, Eric. And, you know, thank you so, so much. So wonderful to hear Eric read some, you know, read anything, but, you know, reading his poetry is even better. But, you know, I really like poem. I liked his, you know, his use of words, the emotional etudes. I didn't even know that was an English word, etude. Etude means, I don't know, it probably means the same thing as it does in French, which is studies. Emotional study, that would be emotional study, sail through the stratosphere, but it's so cool that he uses it too there. And I just love, you know, that he uses the sky so much and nature. Right from the beginning, there's a peacefulness to this poem. Cherished hush, the space between musical notes. The kiss of solitude. Oh, I just love that opening. Oh, my gracious. And, you know, and it doesn't stop there. It just goes on, you know, the heart enlarges to encompass a soundless symphony. So electrified, alive, for the heart reaches out, nurtures nascent thoughts. You know, all those in-between little parts of you that come alive when you're alone and with your in peace and calm and just with yourself. He brings it all out in this poem. And you know, I even felt relaxed and calm just by reading the poem when I read it earlier this morning. You know, it's beautiful, serene lines all the way through. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. It's such a treat always to hear Eric's reading voice. He really does have a soothing voice. Such wonderful imagery and metaphors throughout. An amazing rite that speaks to me on taking time for solitude in order to find inner peace. You know, like, it's great to be able to hang out and socialize with people, but really the most important person to get to know is yourself. And in order to do that, you do have to have that peace of mind that comes with solitude. And there is a kind of a spirituality to this rite, and wonderful lines all the way through, but I especially like the beginning lines, cherished hush, the space between musical notes, the kiss of solitude. And then where it says, celestial solitude, emotional etude, sail through the stratosphere, wonderment unfolds anew. I love how that speaks on the thought of looking up at the night sky and just being in awe of what's unfolding before you. So amazing rite and very well done.
I like that what you said there, Pam. Wonderfully well said. And Robbie, what did you think, my dear?
Well, this is interesting to hear from Eric, because it was the same yet different, because he always has that stream of consciousness sort of a feel to his poems. But usually his stream of consciousness is more abstract in its tone and in what thoughts are being expressed. And this one, it was like a little bit stream of consciousness. Like it's still the, you know, his mind thinking of things and that, but it's a little bit more speaking on like the, like tender moments and such. And it's not as much abstract philosophical musings as opposed to his mind like wondering about all the little things that we experience in life that give us a rush, and that it says here, restoration of self as the world slumbers. So to me, that sounds kind of like sleep. There's a lot of kind of like emotional sort of respites here, that sort of thing. So like celestial solitude, emotional etudes sail through the stratosphere. So it sounds to me there like, you know, you're getting a little bit of a emotional, like, you know, rest from the day. So I really did find that very interesting. It was interesting to hear Eric stick to his style and yet be a little different at the same time.
I like that comment. great comment there, Robbie. And Zach, what did you think, my dear?
I loved it. I thought there is yet again consistency to Eric's work, and he absolutely killed this one again. There was a nice tubular feeling to the symphony above, which descends upon the nocturnal scene before us, and it reminds me of like The Night Before Christmas, sort of like a wintry feeling and very optimistic, and also kind of reminded me a little bit of Charles Dickens, and I loved how it was completely devoid of like Santa Claus, but like finding the light in the dark, the solitude of it, and it reminded me of Black Sabbath's ballad Solitude off of Master of Reality. So that was very well done.
Great observations there, Zach. And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought Eric has an impressive natural ability to, you know, with the way he writes and the way he reads his poems, to pull the reader in and just keep them there through an entire poem, right, through the whole story. I thought he beautifully captured the essence of celestial solitude. You know, his words, they evoked a feeling of being in tune with the universe, finding solace in the quiet moments of life. Impressive. I thought his flow and imagery was spot on, and it made it a delightful journey through the beauty of nature and the soul's connection with it. So, very well done.
Oops. I was off mute. I put myself on mute to talk. That's silly me. That was a wonderful comment there, Jody. And I have your poem up, Jody. And, it got buried. It got buried. I'm going to post it again. Okay, there it is. So whenever you see it there, go ahead and give it a read for us.
All right, let's see. I have to refresh real quick. All right, I got you. All right, here we go. Return to innocence. In the depths of our souls, a child resides, a beacon of innocence where joy abides. Through life's winding paths, we often roam, but to heal our inner child, we must come home. Innocence lost in the rush of the years, as grown-ups' worries replace childhood cheers. But within, a spark of memory persists, a chance to discover what we've missed. Oh, the beauty of a child's untamed heart, where wonder and laughter play their part. In their eyes, the world's a magical place, a return to innocence, our saving grace. The burdens of life can weigh us down, but the inner child can remove that frown. They dance in the rain and chase the wind, teaching us it's okay to let go and mend. In the playground of dreams, we find our way. To heal our inner child, we must simply say, I remember the joy, the love, and the play. I'll cherish this child within, come what may. To heal is to remember, to embrace the past, to free our hearts from shadows cast. Innocence and wisdom together can coexist. A return to innocence, a gift not to resist. So let's heal our inner child, embrace their song. For in their pure heart, we all truly belong. With laughter and love, we find our peace, release, and return to innocence, filling our hearts with peace. End poem.
Wonderful, wonderful read there, Jody. And you know, this kind of really, I know this was a carryover from the show taking the time, but it works for tonight too. You know, there's a kind of this innocence when the girls, the March girls are younger and the playfulness, and you see them, you know, and then they come into, they become wiser as they grow up. So, you know, it works for tonight. And, you know, what a wonderful poem this is. I loved, the beauty of the child's untamed heart, where wonder and laughter play their part. In their eyes, the world's a magical place, a return to innocence, our saving grace. And it's so true, you know, the beauty of a child's untamed heart. Oh, my gracious, you know, sometimes I wish that I could go back there, you know, with keeping my wisdom, but still have that kind of innocence that through a child's eyes that they have. And I think you capture that so beautifully, Jody, in this piece. So well done indeed. And what did you think, Pam? Welcome.
Oh, this is absolutely wonderful, Jody. And I do like how it works for both of the topics. I thought this was an amazing write with great rhyme and flow, wonderful heartfelt lines on nourishing our inner child with love, wisdom, imagination, and that, you know, inner spark that we all need to find. I like where you remind us that oftentimes as we grow, we lose that inner spark. You know, the burdens of life can weigh us down, but the inner child can remove that frown. They dance in the rain and chase the wind, teaching us it's okay to let go and mend. Wonderful lines and very well done.
I appreciate it.
And wonderfully said there, Pam. And Robbie, what did you think of Jody's poem?
Well, it's cool when a poem is, you come across a poem that refers to something that you're literally talking about in the same day or like a few hours ago, because I was at work today. And I see a lot of parents with their kids, and, you know, the kids was being very, you know, joyful and all that. And I said, oh, there's that childlike innocence. And said, yeah, and that you got it. And we ended up talking a little bit about, you know, cultivating and keeping that childlike innocence. And as I get older, I realize more and more the importance of it. And so this poem kind of hit me in a tender spot because it's something that I've actively tried to cultivate more. And I found that when, I don't know how other people are like, but when I've become more okay with myself, I've become more comfortable around kids. Like before, I thought they felt like glass to me. I was like, oh my God, they're going to break. Something's going to happen. You know, but I don't have that feeling so much anymore. So overall, yeah, this poem really speaks to me on a very tender, heartfelt and important idea. And I think especially now these days with how rough the world has become, how many bad things are going on and all that, it's going to help people to have a more childlike sort of a temperament to help, you know, ride through these rough waves that we're going through.
Absolutely. Yeah, I get what you're saying there, Robbie. It's so true. And Zach, what did you think of Jody's write?
Oh, Jody, really well done. I loved how it speaks to the inner child healing through going back to the place where they call home, even though home might be where the hatred is rather than the heart. A return to the childhood trauma and remembering the good, tolerating the bad when it comes, and making for a lovely personal sentiment. Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Wonderful, wonderful comments. And I have our next poem up. I have a shore. And if you can read that, Robbie, when you see it.
Okay. You must have like a piece of paper. Listen, you've got so many people to keep track of now. Don't get a migraine after the show. Okay. So anyways, after I acted like an ass, here we go. I have a shore. The art of dreams lives in these butterfly wings, flapping, dancing, celebrating each intricacy. Exploding confetti from cocoon, such an ecstasy in tender frills, rolling on rainbow curves, wondrous, the bold models breaking the shackles, weld.
I fly on these wings, along and against the wind diving, tumbling and holding myself for something greater, something that sustains storms and retains heart. Infrangible, my mirror bubbles. I shield them from my stony words and violent sharks. I know I have a shore, a destination awaiting me, and a secret pact between us that I always keep in my kangaroo pouch. Summer burns, or winter blues will not stop me from being you. End poem.
Wonderful read, Robbie. And, you know, what a wonderful write on just treading headlong and strong against storms and challenges to reach that destination. The poet says, you know, reaching that shore, you know, that I have a shore, I have a destination, I have a place, you know, where I aim to go. You know, whether it's, you know, the way you are, the coming into yourself or surmounting all these obstacles to get there, you know, I have that destination and I'm going to learn to navigate the waters to arrive at those shores. So beautifully well done, and I really like this write. And what did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. I really like the imagery and metaphors in this and how it does speak on the idea of, you know, of having goals in life. You know, like the journey is a wonderful thing to take, but it's also nice to know that's what's motivating you is what you want to reach or what you want to be in the end. And really an amazing write all the way through and very well done.
Absolutely well said, Pam. And Jody, what did you think, my dear?
I thought this is one of them writes that it had me in nostalgia. Like I was just thinking back when I was a young man. When I was 22, I was in college and a lot wild. And so I sat down and I wrote myself this promise, right? I wrote it out, everything I needed to do and what I really wanted to do, and I signed it, and I kept it. And I thought this poem, you know, was a great reminder to keep pursuing your dreams, and no matter the obstacles, to hold on to that secret pact that we make with ourselves. And, you know, it works out in the end. So I thought that was very well done.
Well, that's cool, writing a pact with yourself. I didn't write it down, but, you know, I always told myself, you know, one day, Naomi, you're going to go to university. You know, that was, you know, my goal. That was my shore. And, of course, you know, I got married young. I had, like, a bunch of kids really young. And, you know, broken marriage and whatever, broken relationships. And, you know, but I did go, you know, I worked nights. I went to school during the day. I raised my kids. I went through university. I did that. I reached my shore, and I'm really proud of it today. And, you know, you need those goals. Like Pam said, you need that destination. And so this really resonates with me, this poem. And Zach, what did you think, my dear?
Oh, wonderful. I love the butterfly metamorphosis imagery. I could see the pollen sort of rising off of the wings and legs of the butterfly. And then, like, afterwards, there's a shield to this person, kind of like a carapace, because the person has to have the guard up while they're kind of striving forward in life's journey. And I love how there's a sentiment of keep moving forward no matter what. So I thought that was great. It was very well done.
Yeah, that was cool, the metamorphosis of the butterfly, absolutely. And Robbie, you read that so beautifully. What did you think?
Well, it was easy to read because it had that such a lulling rhythm and very gentle sort of pacifying isn't quite the word, but yeah, gentle and soothing imagery. And so they had really... It was a lulling poem that way. And what I liked was it had a lot of very unique images that captured your attention. And it captured it just enough to where you wondered a little bit, okay, what's the unique image that's going on here, but not so much to distract you from the poem. I like this here, and a secret pact between us that I always keep in my kangaroo pouch. That's one of those couplets that I could live a million years and I wouldn't come up with that couplet. It's just so utterly unique, and it works. I love that. And then at the very end here, summer burns or winter blues will not stop me from being you. And it's, you could tell like there's a tension being drawn more here because the font is a little different. It's like italicized, and there's like a little bit of indentation in that here. So it makes me think that this particular stanza, this particular passage is important. Although I don't know if that was part of one of the prompts or not. I didn't see the entire prompts, but at the very least, it feels like it's a significant part of the poem, and it's something that I want to contemplate on a little bit more, especially because it's the end of the poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Yeah, me too. The ending was really neat. And this has been a great evening, everybody. I want to thank, Zach for coming on, joining us. Phil for everything she does. Later. Pam also, always there for me, putting up with me. And thank you, Robbie, for phoning in, and Jody for phoning in. You guys are awesome.
Yep.
Twisted Misters for this evening. Thank you for Eric for being on the board, and I didn't see everybody else on the Barb was on the board. Thank you so much, Barb, and everybody else that was on the board. And just thank you for everything. And you have a show tomorrow night. I think Pam and Phil, you guys have a show tomorrow night. Is it your turn?
I believe that it is, and I'm so glad that you stuttered all over my name again. You fell in
love.
I'm telling you, it's not me. It's her. Everybody does. Just makes me laugh. I think it's so cute, Everybody. They all hesitate. They don't know who I am. They knew who I am. Just trying to be nice. But yeah, I believe it's Pam and I were tomorrow night, and she ran the contest. God love her, because she said, "Oh, Jean, I do it for you." And I love you. Thank you very much. Yes, but it's about kissing. I know that much. So.
Oh, kissing.
Some kind of kissing. I don't know. Like I said, Pam ran. The devilish one that Pam won. But no. So yes, I'm looking forward to that. So I'm gonna try and do two nights in a row. This could be fun. So if y'all want to laugh, tune in and listen to me lose my voice on the radio. Thanks, fellas, for all calling in. Much appreciated. Naomi, it was a great show, great topic. And, Pam already ran away. She went to bed, I think. I don't blame her. And I'll definitely catch up with everybody soon. Thanks again.
Okay.
Thanks,
everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.